What is prompting the $25 million in cuts?
Well, let's clarify that the $25 million in cuts is roughly on the active side for the state employees. Don't forget we have non-state agencies and pre-65 retirees and Medicare retirees. The total cut package is closer to $56 million.
So what is, that's a lot of money. What is causing you to need to make those cuts?
Primarily medical trend and pharmacy trend. I mean, the cost of healthcare delivery and pharmacy delivery is just going up every year. Healthcare generally in the, right now, about 6% range, and pharmacy's double-digit trend increases.
So what programs specifically will those cuts affect?
Well, across the board, we'll probably see some higher deductibles, some higher out-of-pockets, maybe some changes to some co-pays, maybe changes to some co-insurance, or just some changes in policies.
Over the last couple of years, West Virginia PEIA has seen a number of rising costs. At what point do those cap out, or is there no end in sight, so to speak?
Well, I hate to tell you there's no end in sight, because it seems like we've been doing this for years. I've been in this industry a long time, and we've said 20 years ago we can't sustain these types of increases, but we somehow managed to do it over the years. I don't see an end in sight. As I said last year, we're almost a $1 billion program, and if trend is 6%, that's $60 million additional new revenue a year we would need to sustain this plan.
So how will consumers feel the impact of these cuts?
Oh, they're not going to be happy at all. I mean, we have some very low-paid individuals at the state we take care of, and they perceive this as a reduction in their overall compensation package from the state. Some people are concerned to be able to afford drugs or medications or go to the doctor should they get sick, take care of their kids. They worry about that.
I want to talk a little bit about the consumer costs. So how specifically will the cuts impact premiums and co-pays? I mean, how much can consumers expect those to rise next year?
Well, that's a great question, and I unfortunately don't have an answer for you. We are working on those numbers right now. What we did last week at the board meeting was get permission to take out specific concepts to public hearings. We are indeed working on those financials right now, so I don't have a good sense of that.
Last week at the board meeting, you said that we are one of two countries in the world that lets manufacturers set their drug prices. What impact does this law have on insurance companies like PEIA?
Yeah, it's tremendous, and it's not just PEIA. It's the country as a whole in a bad place as a result to pharmacy pricing. I said also at the board meeting, I had a manufacturer in the other day, brought me in a 50% discount for a new program they're rolling out. And I said, what good is a 50% discount when you can set the initial price? I mean, that's equivalent of going to buy a Toyota that cost $30,000 today. If Toyota came to you and say, look, I'm going to give you a 50% discount and I'm going to charge you $60,000 for my car, you're no worse or better off than you were before.
PEIA is a relatively small insurance provider with just about 200,000 beneficiaries. What impact does being a small insurance company have on drug prices?
So we aren't driving the leverage in many cases. That's why we outsource our pharmaceuticals to a pharmacy benefit manager, this year using CVS, Pharmacy Management Company. They're insuring like 30 to 50 million people. They're the ones that have the leverage to negotiate rebates, to negotiate manufacturer discounts, to negotiate prices. That's where we get our leverage, and much bigger than our 200,000. But we are a big payer in the state of West Virginia. We do set our policies in the state of West Virginia, and we can outreach to try to do our own individual discounts, which we do on some occasions.
At any point, can you negotiate with these drug companies and say, look, you know, we have 200,000 beneficiaries, we'll pay you X for this specialty drug and no more? Or does the power really lie with those drug companies?
Yeah, so this is a little, philosophically, it's a different piece of business, because if you look at the way we're based on a competitive industry pricing model like cars, drugs are not that. Drugs have typically a very limited distribution unless they go generic. Those patents are controlled by the companies that make them. They can set their own prices. And it's not like a car that's got other competition. You can just say, I'm not going to buy this car. This is something that people need to maintain their health. And in some cases, these drugs are extremely expensive and they're needed for people to maintain their health. There's literally not a choice to say, I'll just forgo it in many circumstances.
Will these cuts have any impact on retirees? And if so, is that more or less than active employees?
It will have an effect on retirees. And it's going to, what we've done so far when we took the business plan to the board last week, was we took an even number, it's an even impact across all the population segments. So for example, if we needed a 7-8% cut in benefits, it's 7 for the active, 7 for the retirees, 7 for the Medicare retirees. So we tried to make it even across all the population segments.
So is there any hope here? I mean, what is the solution? Things seem pretty dire when it comes to just, up and up and up in cost for state employees. Where are we going?
Boy, that's a great, that's the $20 million question. If I could answer that, I think we'd all be better off. I think that everybody's suffering from this. I think PEIA still has a salary-based benefit schedule that's pretty rich, especially at the lower salary tiers. I think that the benefits aren't going to change. We need to decide as a whole how we want to take care of our population.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.